Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have to preview right now some San Francisco 49ers as they welcome in the Vikings this upcoming weekend in a divisional game in the NFL playoffs. We'll do so right now with the man that won a Super Bowl with the 49ers, and that is Eric Davis, the former cornerback who also played with the Panthers, Broncos, and Lions, and he's the host of Believe in 49ers on the Believe Podcast Network. Eric, how are you?
I am well. Sounds like you're doing okay yourself.
Can't complain. And you know why I can't complain? Because each and every day before I get on the air, I see your former radio partner and Brandon Tierney, who is hosts the show with Tiki Barber right before us. Did you happen to see BT and Kevin Durant get into some Twitter beef as of late?
You know what? I didn't see it, but I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked at all. I was shocked that you said that you're in a good mood after seeing BT every day. This guy, I love the dude. I love the dude, but I love it. I love how he likes to push people's buttons. That's one thing that he does. So him getting into it with Kevin Durant, I'm sure it just made him smile. He likes being acknowledged like that.
The funny part is, BT didn't even tweet to Kevin Durant first. All he wrote was, Nets win 7 straight, no one cares. Nets lose 7 straight, no one cares. Speak volumes. And then Durant just jumped in out of nowhere. It's wild how much Durant cares what people have to say on social media.
Well, that is true. And you're right. And I'm shocked BT actually didn't start a fight. See, that right there in itself is news. Not forget Durant going in on him. I mean, BT didn't actually, he was the victim in this. Come on. I've never seen that happen.
That's awesome. Eric Davis here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What has impressed you the most about the Niners? Because I'll give you my opinion what it was in the Niners before the season. I thought their upside was maybe a 6 seed, but I didn't think they would be in the playoffs. And here we are. They're the 1 seed in the NFC.
The most impressive thing that for me throughout this season was the fact that everything that they did from free agency to trades through the draft on paper were the right moves. They did what they were supposed to do on paper to build the team. They addressed all the needs, you know, as far as the general manager position and the head coach, those guys collaborating, saying that these are the players, these are the pieces that we need to move forward. And it's impressive to see that group turn into a solid, tough, fast, physical, nasty football team and improve week after week after week, and everyone understand their positions on the team, understand their roles, take pride in it, and formulate this belief that you can win in any situation. That, to me, is impressive because you always see teams go out and, okay, we are addressing our needs. We're bringing in these players. And they bring in players, name players at times, that just don't pan out. This group of guys, they have come together. The vets have helped the young guys grow. The young guys have pushed some of the vets and made them better. That's impressive to me.
For the most part this year, the defense has been awesome. The Emmanuel Sanders trade was huge. When they suffered some injuries on the offensive line and you had Juszczyk out as well for a few weeks, they were still able to run the football and have success. But a reason why I was a little down on the 49ers going into the year was because of the adjustment with Jimmy G at quarterback being his first full season as the guy. And really that Cardinals game, when he made that third down conversion, that's when Jimmy G really impressed me this year. And then we saw what happened in the Saints game. How about the way you evaluate the quarterback going into the postseason now?
Well, first of all, there was no reason to be up on the 49ers going into the season. I myself, preseason, when I was asked, what did I think? I said, I have to wait and see. It wasn't until the third week of the season after the Cleveland game where I said, okay, these guys are real. Reason being, all the hype involved, everything that was happening, I saw that they were a good team making plays. But, okay, when you are now in a game that the pressure's on, people are watching, how are you going to perform? I was like, okay, this is a good football team. As far as Jimmy, it's the same thing. Jimmy has been sitting behind greatness for quite some time. He's been watching. He's been in an organization that has played, we can't even tell you how many high-pressure games, because I know from being on a team like that and being a part of a franchise where every single game was the other team's playoff game or their Super Bowl. So you never got a day off. Jimmy saw that, but now you don't get better as a player until you get on the field. But you can learn from those situations. So he's not the regular first year under center guy. So watching him and watching him perform throughout the year, I feel really good about where he is because he's answered a lot of questions. Everyone had the knock on him is that he's not as good as, or he hasn't done, but he's played with the lead and performed. He's come from behind when they needed to score. He's had a bad day. Things are just going wrong, and he still finds ways to navigate through that maze and make plays, enough plays for them to win games when he's not at his best. He's gone into hostile territory and performed and been able to lead his team. So the things you want your quarterback to do, and at this time of the year, it's not just be on the team and manage things. It's about making plays. If your quarterback is not making plays, you're not going to win a championship. I feel comfortable that Jimmy G will make plays on Saturday.
Eric Davis here with us on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show. You alluded to it, going from Montana to Steve Young. How do you recall that transition?
It was funny. I said this to someone 2 days ago. I said, I understand pressure and coming in and having a quarterback to perform and watching that quarterback perform and just being amazed by it. And I was like, that guy left. And then we had this bum come in that had to prove himself to us because no other reason than he wasn't Joe. It was that simple. It was like, wait a minute. It didn't matter who they put under center. He wasn't Joe, and we didn't think we could lose when Joe was there. So this guy had to prove it to us, and lo and behold, that's my guy.
Was a pretty good bum, right?
Yeah, that's my guy. I mean, this guy, he came in throwing that backwards ball, and all the receivers were complaining, that the ball was spinning the wrong way, and all sorts of things. It was weird, and it was really, I have so much respect for that guy. Because it was not easy on him. Even when Joe was there, it was not easy on him. You never heard him say one disparaging word about the situation, about anyone involved. All he ever said was that it was a privilege to learn from, watch, grow, and then take advantage of his opportunities. And the dude's amazing. He's an amazing player. But, yeah, it was not easy on him in the locker room at first.
How did you guys try to make it easier on him? Was there anything you guys did as teammates? Because even though Joe was your guy, now with what happened, Steve ended up being your guy.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a question of trying to do anything special. The way everyone on that locker room, this is the thing about good teams and good organizations. You all understand, and I alluded to it earlier, about it was impressive watching the Niners all grow and understand their roles. Everyone has a role. You have a job to do, and you're expected to do your job. And, the mantra there was don't be the guy. And by don't be the guy, we didn't mean it was don't be the guy to screw it up for everyone else. So I had to do my job, and I had to do it at such a level that the next guy next to me, the next guy on the field, the number, whatever number on that 1-53 you were, comfortable doing your job, and you could completely focus on it. Because you weren't worried about whether or not I was able to do mine. You knew that I was going to tow the rope and I was going to pull as hard as I possibly could, and you were not going to get any letdown. That's how you show your teammates you appreciate them. It's by doing everything that you're supposed to do, because if you do those things, you give them the opportunity to do theirs. And that was the thing about not being a ball player, not being a Pro Bowler, but about being a Niner. It was that you saw guys play so hard that you felt guilty if you didn't do it. That's the way you showed Steve that you appreciated what he started doing.
Eric Davis here with us. I know this could be an obvious question in terms of what the answer you're going to give me, but how awesome was the party the night you guys won the Super Bowl with Steve?
You know what? It was, can I tell you, it was funny. You always see the NFL films and you see guys walking around on the field and the confetti falling and all of these things. I didn't experience any of that. When the game was over, as soon as the clock ran down, I walked into the locker room. I was probably in the locker room 30, 35, maybe 45 minutes by myself. I had shot when if you go back and you look at that Super Bowl and you see Jerry Rice and Steve Young being handed the trophy and everyone was in their uniform, I was showered, completely dressed, everything. And why? It was because the Super Bowl, and everyone talks about the excitement of it, for me it was relief. I was told every single day from the time I was drafted from a Division II school that you were brought here to win a championship. And this is how every day started off. Men, we're here to win a championship, and this is how we're going to do it. And I had not delivered on why I was there, so it was relief. So I just kind of sat there and took a deep breath and was like, okay, we got that done. Time to do it again.
Wow.
And so the party that night, it was kind of – I was just kind of numb. It was all types of things, you know, but I was kind of numb. You know, the plane ride back, it was fun. We all had fun because, you know, we were going from Miami to San Francisco. So it was a party in the air as well. But I was really finally able to take that sigh because I knew that I had earned my key. And that's the other thing. They were like, hey, you bring furniture into the building, you will always have a key. It's open 24 hours to you. And by furniture, they meant Lombardi trophies. And I was like, damn, I finally earned my key after coming close so many times. So that was my Super Bowl night.
That's impressive because if I win a Super Bowl, I'm partying it up, Eric. I'm going nuts. I'm sleeping with the trophy. I'm making out with the trophy. And then I'm drinking with the trophy, too, that night. I'm having the time of my life.
I had the party parade day.
So okay. A few more with Eric Davis, kind enough to join us on CBS Sports Radio. And Minnesota, I think they're a real dangerous team this weekend. Sometimes you get these divisional games and you don't really fear the opponent. I know the receivers have been battling a few health problems this week, but they're going to be good to go. But what Kirk Cousins was able to do last week and the way that defense is playing, I was really impressed by them. What type of game do you think we'll see coming up on Saturday?
Oh, well, I think it's going to be a tough game. I mean, you know, Zim is going to be over there. Zimmer is one of the better defensive minds the league has ever seen. And when you give him guys in his room, he can do things to an offense that can cause it trouble. You look at the weapons. You look at Diggs and Thielen and Cook on offense. Kirk Cousins is very capable of making plays. And defensively, again, you have Zimmer that has guys, and he will come in and have them playing sound ball, even though they've had some problems throughout the year with communication in the secondary. It's that time of year where everybody kind of locks in, focuses, and you know the urgency of every single play, every single meeting, every single film study session. So I don't expect too many things to go wrong in those situations. I think it's going to be one of those games where you will see guys make plays. But this going into this game, and yeah, Minnesota, they're a good football team. You don't make it this far if you're not a good football team. So no one's going to be overlooked. But I mean, just being honest, the Niners just have more dudes. They really do. They got a locker room full of big, strong, fast, nasty dudes, and they're playing well and they're confident, and they're going to be tough to beat. So I Minnesota, no way. You don't overlook anyone this time of year. But I got to give the edge to the Niners. This is not just because I wore the colors. I mean, when I think they're going to lose, I say that too, and I've said it during the season. But I just think that they are a better squad than Minnesota, and this time of year, the better squad, when prepared, plays. They win the game.
Do you think this San Francisco team is going to Miami? Is that your feel on this team right now, that they're going to be playing in the game at the end of the year?
I think that I've said it a while back. I think that this team has what it takes. It has the makeup to win a championship. A lot of things have to go right. You can look at, there are a few teams that you can look at in the, that are out there right now, and you can say that they are a team that can win a championship. Every team in the playoffs is not a team that you would look at and say, this team can win a championship. But it's not a question of, can they win a game this week or that week? But are they able to look at it? Because this is the way you have to look at it this time of year. You go through the brackets, you go through your regular season, you have your division, you're trying to win your division, then it's like you're placing in the conference, and now once you do that, brand new season, but now this bracket, it's a new division, and it's all the NFC teams, all the AFC teams, and you have to look at it, is this team capable of knocking out everyone there? The Niners are capable of knocking out everyone there. So that much I will say at this point right now. That, you know, so next week you ask me about the whether or not they're going to the Super Bowl and things like that. We can talk about that. But this team has the makeup of a championship team.
Last one for Eric Davis, who's doing a great job here with us on CBS Sports Radio, host of the Believe in 49ers on the Believe Podcast Network, Super Bowl champion as well. We found out he did not celebrate that much the night after and the night of winning the Super Bowl. Final one for you. You talked about that transition from Montana to Young. I know Garoppolo no longer there in New England. They traded for him to get a few extra years out of Brady. What do you think's going to happen with Tom? Is Tom back with the Pats next year?
I don't think so, and this is why. I'm not going to throw names out there or anything, but there is someone that I am friendly with, and we've been friends for quite some time, for years, decades, and he's friends with the Crafts. He's friends with Tom. They travel together, all sorts of things. So I know I'm narrowing down the field, but Tom made a comment to this person this past off season, before the beginning of the season. He talked to him about starting to think about retirement. And when you start to think about retiring, I know it as a player. I played 13 years. I know that when you start thinking about retiring, especially when you are an athlete like Tom, when you are that guy with that mindset that's driving and the focus is on constantly improving and bringing up your players. And there have been years we've seen him carry the team, and he's had this singular focus about eating a certain way and taking care of his mind a certain way and body a certain way and everything that he's been doing. When you start talking about retiring, the body's going to follow. When the brain starts thinking about it, the body will follow, and you've already retired. So I said early on, I thought this was going to be Tom's last year.
That's interesting, because he's given zero indication publicly that he's going to retire. And after the game on Saturday, he said it's unlikely he's going to retire. That's why that perspective is fascinating to me.
Yeah. Well, and he may not. He may not. But
who are you talking to, Alex Guerrero?
No, but all I know is that he told someone that he was thinking about retiring.
Wow.
And which to me means it's coming. It may not be this season, but he's there. And what it's going to do, as I said, the body's going to follow the brain. Athletes, high-end athletes, we don't train our body. We train our brain. The body's going to follow. We train our brains. So if you tell your brain that if the brain starts saying, I'm shutting this down soon, the body's going to shut it down. And you won't see the same performances. You won't see guys doing the same things. You won't see the uplifting. And I think some of that, no knock on Tom, but I think some of that came, you saw it this year. Because we've seen Tom have seasons where everyone say, well, he doesn't have a running game, or he doesn't have receivers, or he doesn't do this. And still, he beats everyone. It was a little tougher this year, even with the number one defense.
I got a minute left for Eric Davis. Last one for you. So if he does return, do you think it will be New England?
Is Belichick still there?
Yes.
If Belichick is still there, I think it'll be. I think it's New England. I really do. I thought for a long time they may walk away together.
Interesting.
And that's what I feel.
Well, hey, Eric, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. Make sure you check him out. Host of Believe in 49ers, the Believe Podcast Network. Thanks so much, Eric.
All right, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.